of at least 8 Americans being held in the South American nation. CBS's Linda Kenyon is at the White House.
They include 2 former Green Berets involved in an attempt to oust Maduro in 2019 and a California businessman.
In return, the U.S. will release a close ally of Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro. Correspondent Ed O'Keefe.
The Maduro ally is a Colombian-born man named Alex Nain Saab Moran, who was charged in Florida in 2019 for money laundering and was arrested in 2020. While traveling in Cabo Verde en route to Iran. He pleaded not guilty, and his attorneys have since been trying to get his case dismissed by claiming diplomatic immunity.
We have not yet confirmed a timeline for the swap. The White House is refusing to comment. CBS News Special Report. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Your hometown news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. President Biden in Wisconsin today talking up his efforts to boost the economy. He tells supporters in Milwaukee that unemployment is at a 50-year low and confidence is growing that the U.S. has averted an economic downturn. 35,000 state university employees in Wisconsin are getting their 4% pay raises that were approved 6 months ago. A deal struck between lawmakers and the universities, trades raises, and building money for curtailed diversity efforts. It got final approval by a panel of lawmakers yesterday.
Diversity, equity, inclusion is important. The action we are taking today should have been done months ago and should never have been used as a bargaining chip for this process.
Senate Democratic Minority Leader Dianne Hasselbein. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. People in Southwood County were able to get information on low-cost or free health care last week at the Mid-State Gym, thanks to the Wood County Health Department, H2N and R2N networks.
We got to talking and we just kept expanding it and made it into a holiday health resource fair.
That's Audrey Day, community health worker with Wood County and organizer of the event. She said close to 150 people attended last Friday, with several taking advantage of getting their COVID-19 and flu vaccinations while they were there.
And it was really targeted towards any kind of vulnerable populations as well.
Local businesses donated food and volunteers made egg rolls and fry bread. Lots of toys and resources were given out, as well as pictures with Santa.
We had a lot of people come together to make this happen, so I'm grateful for it.
And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay. WFHR and WIRI News.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Dane County Executive Joe Parisi. Joe, let me ask you. You've made a little news. You have declared what in regard to the Twitter, now known as the X, and the Dane County municipal accounts. Joe, have you banned Twitter?
Well, we're no longer going to be using Twitter, I think is probably the...
Is that the same as banning Twitter, sir?
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 till 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Another Bucks milestone. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks beat the Spurs 132-119. Damian Lillard led with 40 points, becoming one of only 51 NBA players to score more than 20,000 points in their career.
A rare space to be in, you know, in the history of this league, to have only 51 players accomplish something like that. You know, I think that speaks for itself. I look at, you know, what led up to it, the things that I think of in high school and college and, you know, the doubt that I faced over the course of my career, you know, before the NBA. And just my mentality through all of those things, you know, sometimes you don't really see the light at the end of the tunnel. You just got to have that faith in yourself.
NFL, the Packers play the Panthers in Carolina Sunday. Defensive back Eric Stokes, glad to be back after recovering from a badly injured foot and knee.
It was a great feeling being back out there. I ain't played ball in over 13 months or whatever. So it was a great feeling just being out there with the guys. Very, very much emotional.
That's the Packers, Eric Stokes. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot with a look at your weather ahead. A sunny and vibrant day. Winds are much calmer, so it's feeling a bit better as high temperatures today climb to the upper 30s. Tonight will be mostly cloudy and mild with a low around 30. And here's a gift. By Sunday, we'll be flirting with the 50s. Right now, 33 degrees.
Hi, everybody. This is Mike Comer, sports broadcaster on WIRI. I'd just like to wish a very Merry Christmas from my family to you and yours.
One.
Purdy throws over the middle. Picked off.
More.
Backside pressure. Down he goes.
Game.
To the end zone. Touchdown. Braylon Allen.
The Badgers. The Tigers. Live from Raymond James Stadium in Tampa, Florida. It's the ReliaQuest Bowl. Join us New Year's Day. Our coverage begins at 9 a.m. on your home for Wisconsin football. The Badger Sports Network from Learfield.
What is over the back fence? Let's say you have a
three-piece children's luggage set,
or a
Kevin Gordon digital air fryer,
or a
2019 Cadillac
for sale. Just call up 424-2600 on Saturdays from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. Describe your item and wait for the calls to roll in. It's your on-air bulletin board only on WFHR.
Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. Your home of the Earl Ingram Show. Weekday mornings from 8 till 10 on The Shaw. 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK. From the Civic Media Radio Network. Moving Wisconsin forward one joke at a time. This is As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
As so it goes. As so it goes. As so it goes. As so it goes. But where it's going, no.
In for the new mom, here's Jane Mattenair.
Good morning and welcome to As Goes Wisconsin, broadcasting live from our studio in downtown Waukesha. Good morning, lacrosse. If you're listening on the Eagle up there, Greg Bach is running the board, and you can always join us at 844-967-2789 if you want to call in and or text. I'm so excited about our next guest, and this has been many months in the making. Adrienne Thunder is joining us. She is the Ho-Chunk Nation Language Division Program Manager. Adrienne, thank you for joining us. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Well, this language app that has been long in the making. Tell us about the Ho-Chunk language app and why this was so important to get up and running.
Yeah, that's kind of a long story, but the short version is this is something that our tribal members have been asking about for several years, and it has been several years in the making. We did have a kind of a rudimentary app several years ago, and so people kind of got a nice kick out of that. That was nice to use back when they were just first coming out. Since that time, the contract with that particular outfit that we used expired, and so we kind of thought about what we wanted to do with the new app. And, you know, things were changing so quickly with technology then, lots of bells and whistles, and, you know, there were so many applications like Duolingo and Rosetta Stone and all types of other language apps that were doing some really cool things. And so when we started asking about it, we found out developing something like that with a language that hasn't been used before, the development process is expensive.
I bet it is.
Yeah. So that was kind of our main hindrance at that point. You know, and we were talking about 3 years of development work that would need to go into that. And of course, each year of that came with its own price tag. Pretty hefty. So we were working on it for a while, just in terms of planning for things that we wanted to see in it. And hopefully the time was right. And soon enough, we came across the Language Conservancy, and we talked with them for a little bit about their work with other indigenous languages. And they told us that there was a way that they could help us develop an app, and that they had used that with other tribes previously. And so it looked like a pretty nice plan. And then they helped us with the grant writing to the federal government. So we got a chunk of money to help us out with that. And we were on our way.
That's really wonderful. It is. I've been so interested in this. When I first saw this article, it was in WPR, actually. Adrienne Thunder is the Ho-Chunk Nation Language Division Program Manager, and we're talking about this new app that they've come up with. For people who may not realize this, Adrienne, there were some very concerted efforts to kill the Ho-Chunk language.
Well, there certainly were. So in addition to, you know, things that had been happening to us anyway, historically, either removals, to lands westward, Minnesota, Iowa, South Dakota, places like Nebraska. And then in addition to that, there was the boarding school era that began in the late 1800s, which was a really concerted effort to try to replace our language with English, of course, and kind of force us to, you know, take on American ways, more American ways of living. And so, you know, that really caused, you know, probably the biggest dent in our language survival all this time. And so we've had generations. In fact, I think people would be surprised to know how recent the boarding school era was. It was in the time of my grandparents. So, you know, in the early 1900s, or mid 1900s rather. And I think people would be shocked to know. I mean, there's still Indian boarding schools that exist today. Of course, they're very different creatures than they were back sure. in the day, but you know, they're still with us, you know, and I think people are surprised to see, you know, as late as the 1960s, even there were some efforts that were taken to snuff out indigenous languages.
That's that. I did not realize that they had been around that recently, Adrian, until the 1960s. That's pretty shocking. What have your grandparents said about their experience in these boarding schools?
I think like a lot of other people, they didn't speak that much of it. You know, I think it was an experience that was, you know, so horrific that it's just really hard to try to express what that meant in any kind of meaningful way. And so, you know, again, they just tried to get on with their lives and try to carry on the best they could. And they carried the scars for that, you know, for generations to come, actually.
Oh, I believe it.
They're still with us today.
Yeah, I believe it. Did they still speak Ho-Chunk?
Yeah, my grandmother did. You know, so she, it took her a little while to adjust and come back, you know, come back to it. But yeah, my parents, my aunts and uncles, my dad's siblings, they all spoke Ho-Chunk in the home when they were growing up. So within the home, my grandparents taught them all there is that they knew about Ho-Chunk language and culture. And then outside of their home, they told them, you know, you have to learn how to get along in the world, you know, and learn English and learn a trade or go to school or, you know, do the best you can outside of the home. But when you come back home, you know, you need to be Ho-Chunk.
So how can people use this app? I'm just so curious about it.
You know, and I think that's the coolest thing about it is that, you know, we're dealing with younger generations. And I think there's just so much more imagination and, of course, technology to help them with different ways of expressing themselves. So, you know, if you look around today, it's just really gratifying to see so much proliferation in the popular culture. You have fashion designers, you have musicians, you have poets, you have artists, you have, you know, all actors, actresses, you know, I mean, you're seeing more indigenous people appear in lots of different places where they hadn't before. And so I think, again, in the various ways that people are able to express themselves, the language which will become that much more, you know, appealing and that much more inclusive of everything that they're experiencing today.
Sure. Adrian Thunder is our guest. She is the Ho-Chunk Nation Language Division Program Manager. And we're talking about this new app that has been developed to basically essentially teach people how to speak Ho-Chunk. What do young people say about this? I can only imagine, Adrian, that the first words they want to learn are the potential naughty words.
Yeah, I think they kind of pick those things up along the way from family.
That's always it's the same wherever you go. I just think that's hilarious.
Yeah, I would say though, like, so we offer high school classes in Ho-Chunk in 5 Wisconsin public school districts. We're in Black River Falls, Toma, Wisconsin Dells, Baraboo, and Nakusa. So in those high schools, we offer Ho-Chunk, at least Ho-Chunk 1 and 2. There's, we've been adding schools as we've been kind of going along. And so some of them are a little further along. But I would say that right now our high school students, they're really interested in a course of the, you know, the cultural ways, and they want to learn songs, and they want to learn, you know, prayer, and they want to learn, you know, different kinds of things that they can do with it to express their Ho-Chunkness. And so, of course, that's definitely something that we're interested in wanting them to do. There's a student organization at a couple of the schools, and they've been talking about, you know, contemporary Native issues like murdered and missing Indigenous women. They talk about Rock Your Mocks and, you know, there's different
days
throughout the year.
Yeah. I love it. Rock Your Mocks.
And so, you know, again, they're bringing their creativity and their experience as, you know, teenagers to the language. And I think that's really gratifying. I think the other thing that's really cool about the app is, again, we've used some of those young people's voices for the recording session. And that was really neat to see.
I bet.
In fact, yeah, one of my aunties, she's 86 years old, and she was one of the elders that we had on site working with the youngsters, and she was so happy to hear the young people using language. I mean, it was just so gratifying for her to hear that.
Oh, I bet. I bet. It must be, is it extremely difficult to learn?
It's tough. You know. It's a little, oh gosh, I wouldn't say it's harder than, you know,
any
Spanish or, you know, anything like that. You know, I think some of the sounds are similar to sounds you would hear in the German language, for example. So they're not, you know, too different, but at the same time, you know, it's a different system than English, of course. And so if you grew up an English speaker, it's an adjustment and it'll take time to learn, but yeah, it can be learned.
Well, can you give us some phrases in Ho-Chunk just so we can get an idea of what it sounds like?
Okay, I can do a quick introduction. And I, you know, in full disclosure, I'm a novice speaker myself. I'm coming along, learning the language along with a lot of others. So,
oh, that's great.
I need to excuse myself ahead of time if any Ho-Chunk speakers are actually out there listening to me. But anyway,
everybody's a critic.
Yeah. Haini pi, hini karagiwi. Ho-Chunk Rajara Adrian Thunder Hingaide Naga I'm sorry, Ho-Chunk Rajara Ahugenanga Hingaide Naga Mahkade Rajara Adrian Thunder Hingaide Ho-Chunk Language Division Manager Watwanangshana.
That was great. Yeah. That was great. Yeah. I guess it is not a written language, correct?
No, most indigenous languages haven't been written for quite a while. And I would say back in the, 60s, 70s, 80s, there was a lot of, disagreement, I think, among tribal members that we write it down. And that was a taboo at that time. But as it became plain to us that we would need to develop some sort of teaching and writing system, we eventually came around to using the International Phonetic Alphabet
to
help us with our language. Yep.
That's just going to make learning it so much easier, especially if you're an older person trying to learn a new language.
Yeah, and the writing it's familiar. At least we use the alphabet, you know, that everyone's familiar with, and there are of course diacritic symbols that make the sound different.
Right.
But other than that, I think it's, you know, visually recognizable.
Adrian, if people are interested, where can they get this app?
It will be available through the Google Play and also the Apple Store, iTunes Store,
I don't know,
App Store. So yeah, I think anywhere that, you know, of those two major outlets, the most people get their apps. Yeah.
And is it called the Ho-Chunk Language App?
I can't remember the name that we had decided on. its official name, I think it's Ho-Chunk Way Pettis. But if you use Ho-Chunk as the search, no doubt
it'll come up
in the online dictionary.
Well, I'm so excited for you, and I'm so excited about this app. Adrian Thunder, the Ho-Chunk Nation Language Division Program Manager, really has been a pleasure. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you. I appreciate your time, and thank you for letting me share this with your audience.
Absolutely. It's been lovely. Stay close when we return. Terry Bell, News Director for Civic Media, checking in from downtown Milwaukee as we await President Biden. You're listening to As Goes Wisconsin across the Civic Media Radio Network.
From Wisconsin Rapids to Stevens Point, your news, talk, and sports is 97.5 FM, locally grown radio.
I didn't ask to be thrown in the streets with nowhere to go. I didn't think I'd survive. But I did ask for help, and Covenant House was there for me.
1 in 10 young adults will experience a form of homelessness this year. For these kids who didn't ask to be put in this unthinkable situation, Covenant House is there.
Covenant House helped me break the cycle of homelessness in my family They gave me the love that I needed.
Over 2,000 young people will sleep safely in a Covenant House bed tonight. When youth who are experiencing homelessness have a hot meal, a safe place to sleep, medical care, and love, they can overcome heartbreaking challenges and have a brighter future.
They just really genuinely just wanted to help me succeed, and I'm succeeding. I'm a speaker, I'm an author. Covenant House really helped me and really helped mold me into the woman I am today.
If you or someone you love is asking for help, go to safeplacetosleep.org today.
From the hometown of NASCAR's Dick Trickle, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM, your news talk and sports station.
And Jane Matinier in for Kristen Bry. Greg Bach is on the board. Just a reminder, the Bucks going to be hosting the Orlando Magic tomorrow night. You can catch it starting at 6:30 if you're listening on Oshkosh Air Support, WISS in Oshkosh. And you can catch the game. Again, this is tomorrow night. Bucks hosting the Magic on WRCE News from the Center in Richland Center. Obviously, lots of activity in downtown Milwaukee today. President Biden is going to be speaking. And joining us is our news director, Terry Bell. Good morning, Terry. How's it going?
Hi, Jane. Sorry about all the confusion. Technology is glorious. It is what it is.
It's always challenging, right? It is always a challenge.
It sure is.
So what time is President Biden expected, Terry?
Well, President Biden is actually in Wisconsin. Air Force One landed about 10:45. Now I imagine he is meeting with supporters and other VIPs, getting a tour of this facility. This is the Wisconsin Black Chamber of Commerce. Among other things, serves as an incubator for small businesses. We've heard a lot about Bidenomics and his plan to grow the economy by growing the middle class out, as opposed to the upper class down. But particular, we're going to hear about small businesses today and what's been happening for them in the last 3 years, and particularly with Black-owned small businesses, and how important that is in a city like Milwaukee, which has seen a lot of changes over the past generations or so. I'm here with Earl Ingram of the Earl Ingram Show, and Earl has a lot of insights on that that I think are valuable to all of us.
Absolutely. We're going to pass it along to Earl there, and we'll get to get our colleague Earl Ingram on.
All right. How you doing, Jane?
Guys, you don't need your phone. Your headsets will do great.
Okay.
Use your headsets, not the cell phone.
Still got issues. Okay. All right, Jane, can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you, Earl. So there is some concern because it does seem like support for President
Hello, Biden. Jane, can you hear me?
Yes, Earl, I can hear you.
No. Okay. I can hear you. Jane?
Yes.
We'll just keep soldiering on. Earl, we were talking a little bit before we went on the air just about why this is so particularly important in Milwaukee, a place where there was once, as in much of America, a thriving Black middle class. There were good manufacturing jobs, and there were plentiful, and people had a high standard of living. And in Milwaukee and in Wisconsin, that has changed quite a bit. We were talking about that.
So I have a PhD in Black Milwaukee since I have lived here my entire life, soon to be 70 years. When I was a young man, Milwaukee had the highest standard of living of Blacks anywhere in the country. As hard to believe as that is, we had the highest standard of living in this city for people of color. Because at 18 years old, you could do what I did, walk right out of high school and walk into industry and work on a job for 34 years that allowed us to live the American dream, to buy a home, to send your kids to college, to buy new cars, to save some money, to travel, to go to Disney World, Disneyland, all of the things that the majority of America could do. We were able to do that. And a lot of that had to do with the civil rights struggle and all of those things. But more than anything else, it had to do with the fact that Milwaukee was the machine shop of the world.
Just about any tractor in America was made in Milwaukee, wasn't it?
Not only tractors. Sewing machines, washers and dryers, automobile frames, televisions, you name it, we produced it. And so it wasn't just Milwaukee at that time, it was America. America was the one nation that was not invaded. And so after World War II, many of the other nations, their infrastructure was destroyed. And so America was king in manufacturing. And so that meant in cities like Milwaukee and other places, Cleveland, Pittsburgh, Cincinnati, Kansas City, manufacturing was king because we produced things for the entire world. So a city like Milwaukee, and which would have, at that time when I was a young boy, probably about 20% of it was black. But because of what transpired in World War II and other things, there were so many jobs that were available, and all of them were forced to pay a going rate because of the competition with hiring people.
Exactly. And that's what happened after that. So we had this situation, jobs were good, jobs were plentiful, you could have a prosperous family. What happened then?
Well, something called a couple different things. Something called global economics. Something that made it possible for companies to move their jobs out of, number one, cities, and then northern cities, which had unions, down to southern cities that did not have unions. And they certainly could do that cheaper. And then eventually to move them out of those southern cities that didn't have unions onto places like Mexico, which was even cheaper than what was taking place in the southern states. And then even cheaper yet by moving them to China and moving other places. So people would say that it happened because unions and what we were making, the companies could no longer afford to do that. But that would be an inaccurate statement.
There are still jobs here to do in the United States, and Bidenomics, if you will, is helping make that happen. We're going to hear quite a bit today about the owner of a company called Hero Plumbing, which just got a big contract to enact a lot of the bipartisan infrastructure law to replace lead pipes, the dangerous lead pipes that are all over, particularly in Milwaukee. And that work is, you know, going to be done by a private company, Hero Plumbing.
So let me first begin to say that what has transpired with leaded pipes in our community is absolutely sinful and shameful. So many young people in the city of Milwaukee and other urban as well as rural areas have been poisoned by lead. All of us know the impact of that. So we're going to take a short hiatus, and when we come back, we'll continue the conversation.
Earl Ingram and Terry.
Jane, that we'll have more if you want us back. We'd be happy to keep talking.
Earl Ingram and Terry Bell, thank you so very much for joining us in downtown Milwaukee, waiting for President Biden. He is going to be speaking today at a special incubator in downtown Milwaukee. Again, that was Earl Ingram Jr. and Terry Bell, our news director, joining us. Stay close. When we return, John Nichols is the associate editor for the Cap Times, which is a wonderful publication that I highly encourage you to check out. He's got a couple of columns about why he does not expect to receive a Christmas card from the former president. Stay close. You're listening to As Goes Wisconsin. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Stop surfing the dial. You've found the greatest station ever. Locally grown radio 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
From the home of the Cranberry Blossom Festival, your news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Federal workplace safety officials are fining the owners of the Florence Hardwood Sawmill in northern Wisconsin nearly $1.4 million. A 16-year-old worker died last summer after getting trapped in a machine at the mill. University of Wisconsin student leaders say they'll push back against new limits on diversity and inclusion efforts. Jazzy Segarra is with Leaders Igniting Transformation.
Student government associations in Wisconsin hold a great power and privilege to speak on behalf of the students, especially with working with chancellors and administrators.
On the other hand, leading Republican lawmakers contend diversity programs are divisive. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. An Antigo man has been charged with multiple counts of drug dealing. 24-year-old Brady L. Mevis is charged with two counts of conspiracy to deliver methamphetamine, maintaining a drug trafficking place, as well as other charges related to drug dealing. Law enforcement responded to Brady Mevis' home in August for a 911 call. Responding officers found Brady on the floor, shot in the shoulder. They discovered containers of THC and methamphetamine in the home while investigating the shooting. On this and other evidence, they continued their investigation and learned large amounts of drugs were being shipped to Antigo through the mail and being distributed by Mevis and others. Brady Mevis will make his initial court appearance on January 8th. Stock boxes will be available in Wisconsin Rapids starting in January for those over 60 with limited income. You can register by calling 211 or the United Way. And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
The D3.
D3 right of the circle. Badgers take the lead.
The throwdown.
Down the lane and sends it in and one.
The thrilling victory.
Badgers win it. Oh, did they dig in defensively tonight?
This is your radio home for Wisconsin Badger basketball.
Takes the three, sidesteps left for three in the lead. He hit it.
The Badger Sports Network from Learfield.
Drives the lane, draw and kick, right corner three. Got it again.
The Bucks roll past the Spurs. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks beat the Spurs 132-119. San Antonio tried to double-team Giannis, so he just passed the ball around and finished with a triple-double. Only 11 points, but 14 rebounds and a career-high 16 assists. Head coach Adrian Griffin.
Giannis is a winner. He's going to do whatever it takes to win. And now we got another test coming up with Orlando. It's going to be a good challenge for us. But, we got good momentum going into this game, so I think everyone feels good right now.
NFL, Packers play the Panthers in Carolina Sunday. After losing to Tampa Bay, Matt LaFleur seems to be more upset with the players than Joe Barry.
What's disappointing is when you go out there and it's basic install, like day one install, and we have self-inflicted communication errors and guys, quite frankly, not in the right spot. I mean, that's tough to watch.
That's Packers head coach Matt LaFleur. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot with a look at your weather ahead. A sunny and vibrant day. Winds are much calmer, so it's feeling a bit better as high temperatures today climb to the upper 30s. Tonight will be mostly cloudy and mild with a low around 30. And here's a gift. By Sunday, we'll be flirting with the 50s. Right now, 33 degrees.
News talk and sports on both sides of the dial from Wisconsin Rapids and beyond. Locally grown radio 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Hey, everybody. Glad you could join us. I'm Tim Hubbelt, better known as the Polka Guy, on the Sunshine Polka Party Variety Show.
Join Tim every Saturday and Sunday for a great variety of polkas, waltzes, and more. Wake up at 7 a.m. on Saturday morning to get the weekend started on the right foot, then enjoy a lively Sunday afternoon at 1 p.m. Same great show, two different times, one fun weekend. The Sunshine Polka Party Variety Show, 7 a.m. Saturdays and 1 p.m. Sundays, only on WFHR, locally grown radio.
Your place for this area's news, talk, and sports. We are locally grown radio 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Let an old Christmas come.
There's an old Christmas card in an old.
Good morning. Welcome to As Goes Wisconsin. Thank you so much for joining us. Jane Madden there in for Kristen Bry. Greg Bach is on the board. And you can always join us at 844-967-2789. We are hopefully going to be connecting with John Nichols, who is the associate editor of the Cap Times, has a couple columns about the former president, essentially tagging him for an alibi regarding the January 6th insurrection. It's a pretty interesting article. You can find the op-ed. We'll put it up in our show notes. But again, we're waiting for John Nichols, the associate editor from the Cap Times, to be joining us here on the program. We just heard from Earl Ingram and Terry Bell, who are in downtown Milwaukee, waiting for President Biden. He is on the ground here. I'm sure if you're driving around downtown Milwaukee or anywhere leading from downtown to the airport, you've already noticed that.
What's going on? Oh, no.
Oh, yes, it's true.
I was driving yesterday, and I came up to an exit where there was a bunch of cop cars and ambulance lights, and I was like, oh, gosh. And the accident stopped just as my exit came on, so the flow of traffic was perfect.
Oh, nice.
And I was like, sweet baby Jesus in the manger, you're smiling upon me this Christmas Eve.
Something that that I did want to share that we didn't have an opportunity to talk about.
Yeah.
And I think it's important because this is happening right before Christmas. After months and months and months of sitting on these promotions in the military, Tommy Tuberville has finally backed off.
Oh, Tubby.
I mean, so this pointless military blockade is officially over. The Senate finally confirming the final group of senior military nominations that were held up because of Tuberville's protest over the Pentagon's abortion policy. Mm. So the 11 flag officers have now been approved, joining the rest who were approved a few weeks ago. Earlier this month, Tuberville agreed to end the blockade against promotions for 3-star nominees and below. The remaining 4 stars were finally released this week. This took months. He's been sitting on this for months. I feel so badly for these military members and their families who haven't been able to go on with their, they've been in a holding pattern all this time.
I mean, and over the abortion policy in the military.
Well, you know, they tried to frame it as abortion tourism. That's what they were calling it. That didn't catch on, so they backed away from that. But yes, because the Pentagon allows female service members to travel if they need abortion care. And that's ostensibly what this whole holdup was over. Personally, I think he was holding them open and would have continued to hold them open until after the next election.
Oh.
Leaving all these things, all of these promotions empty so that if Donald Trump should win, he can appoint his loyalists and essentially have most of the military on his side.
Oh, that's just terrifying. I mean, the thing is, no one can even primary him on this because he'll go home and be like, I did this for the babies. Like, he gets to campaigns. He still somehow gets to be a winner on this because at the end of the day, even though he gave up, he said, I did what I could. I held out as long as I could for the children, for the babies, because I believe in life. And that makes his base go gaga with excitement.
But ultimately, he got nothing.
Yeah, but
he got nothing but inflicting pain and uncertainty on all of these people who are sacrificing to serve in our military.
Well, luckily for him, though, he doesn't care about them. So he didn't have to worry. He doesn't have to suffer anything. And I mean, I'm sure he doesn't have to even care about his buddies who are all against abortion laws, but doing some pretty nefarious stuff behind the scenes, too, that we never see. But, you know, hey, what do I know? It's just me spilling some tea.
Oh, speaking of spilling tea.
Ooh.
George Santos has been busy flapping his mouth since he left Congress.
Yeah.
And I don't know why anyone would believe anything that comes out of his mouth, but it has been pretty entertaining.
Yeah.
I mean, he has listed off several people by name, fellow Congress critters, who he says are, he says Kevin McCarthy is corrupt, and there's insider trading and all of this hanky panky going on among members of Congress, and I guess that really shouldn't surprise anybody.
I mean, Kevin McCarthy's corrupt. Next. Oh, there's insider trading. And
next.
Like, you want to really raise the hackles? Name some names, show some proof. Unfortunately, you spent the better part of your time here lying your face off. So no one, you have no credibility whatsoever. I mean, like, you could have the Ark of the Covenant and people would be like, you probably bought that at Five and Below. So, I mean, I don't know. It's just like, no one cares. He's going to end up on a reality show, or he'll be a pundit from some style thing, or he'll become an influencer online. I mean, he's doing cameos now.
Yeah.
And he did that interview with Z-Way, that's where she actually asked the question, what do we have to do to make you go away? And he answered it perfectly. He said, stop inviting me.
Well, truly.
Like, what do you think is going to, like, if you want him to go away, we have to ignore him. That's how you shed shadow on him, and he will just crawl away. But if you keep putting the light on him, he's going to walk towards it.
Oh, yeah.
And you know what? Do it. Make your money. We're the idiots who are like, I can't believe him and blah, blah, blah. Why won't he just go away? Because we're talking about him. He'll go away when we stop talking about him. But he'll never stop being relevant because we'll always be curious.
It's just watching a train wreck in action.
A beautiful train wreck.
Let's say a well-styled train wreck.
I was going to say, a train wreck in a beautiful sweater.
That comedian who you just mentioned, Z-Way, she asked him how many stolen credit cards he had to use to pay for his outfit.
Yeah.
And he at first denied owning anything from Hermes other than the cologne. That's all I wear is the Hermes cologne. Oh, no, wait. And the bracelet. How did you buy that? She asked. He said it was a gift from his husband. Santos, who's 35, also said he's been getting Botox and fillers since he was 25.
That doesn't surprise me at all. Not one bit. Not one. I'm surprised. Honestly, I'd have been surprised if you said 15, but 25?
Do you think am I just way out of the loop as far as when people start getting cosmetic treatments?
Well, now they've sold Botox as more of a, it's less about, it used to be, Botox used to be like, I'm going in for Botox treatment. Now you see billboards everywhere. You can run into a place, get a couple of units, and you're good to go. It's simple. It's easy. It's fun. And he's just on the cutting edge. And I didn't know he was married.
Well, that's what he says. Yeah. And whether or not we can put that in the bank remains to be seen.
She went on to ask him about his thoughts on some black LGBTQ leaders, civil rights activists too. And she named off James Baldwin, Marsha P. Johnson. And he just, like, Marsha P. Johnson, he goes, love her, everything she did. And she's like, really? Like, everything. You don't know who she is. Next question. Like, he has no idea.
No.
I mean, I'm not going to find a lot of books in his house.
Well, and what I find amazing, though, is that he was not better vetted before he ever ran. No one did back. They don't do background checks on candidates. You would think before a political party would endorse someone, you would at least. I mean, I had to have a background check in order to get global ID.
Yeah.
I was interviewed by an FBI agent, for heaven's sakes.
Well, I mean, I think at the end of the day, you can run if you want, if no one else is running. I mean, it wasn't a huge seat in New York. And I mean, the thing is that the New York Republican Party was not happy about this, but there was no one else running. And the guy who was running against him had gone to various papers and said, this man is lying. And the papers did nothing.
No, and wasn't it a very small newspaper?
Yes, it was.
It was a very small newspaper in New York that uncovered all this stuff.
Yeah, and because he went to the bigger papers and they wouldn't do anything. And then I watched an interview when they were talking about this, the fact that this gentleman had gone to the small paper, or a gentleman had gone to the news outlets and said, this is wrong. He is lying. What is going on here? And at the end of the day, the newspapers all agreed, like, it wasn't our fault. We didn't do anything. They never admit to fault when they're caught. Oh yeah, absolutely. And yeah, and that was the thing, is people were saying, why didn't anyone say anything earlier? And this opponent, this Democratic candidate, was like, I was.
I tried.
The entire time. So.
And no one would listen to me.
So it'll be really amazing to see who gets this seat now. Because can the Democrats get up enough energy to take this seat? Or will the GOP just say, all right, we're going to get a cardboard cutout of one of us. We're going to put it in that seat and we'll be fine for 2 years or the rest of that term.
Well, the one thing I think is that's almost guaranteed is that they're going to vet this, whoever this next candidate is. They're going to vet them within an inch of their life.
Yeah, it makes me wonder what other states will do. I'm sure they'll do very little, but I'm sure New York now will be even more about, like, you want to run here, fill out this 27-page application.
Absolutely.
We need 34 references. We need all of your IDs, and we'll think about it.
I would love, that would be something to ask Todd Alba about too, another colleague with the Todd Alba show, just about how much research goes into, you know, looking at these candidates and their pasts and their backgrounds. And but as you said too, I think now moving forward there will be a much, much more vigorous process when it comes to looking at their past.
Yeah. I mean, I'll run for Congress. Why not? My name is Gregory Josephson, and I'm running for Congress.
Well, what would be your platform?
About 6 feet tall.
Thank you. That helped a lot.
I want to be taller than all of you.
All right. That helped a lot. Apparently, again, we got our signals crossed with John Nichols from the Cap Times, a couple of articles that he's had on there in the last couple of weeks. Essentially, Donald Trump and his lawyers were after some discovery regarding Trump's involvement in January 6th, and he fingered this John Nichols from the Cap Times, who's the associate editor, as being on the edges of the action on January 6th, and he was there encouraging rioters and encouraging people to move forward. And the only slight problem with that whole claim is that he was never there, and he has witnesses who can say that he was actually never there. Another thing, too, coming up about the January 6th, new Speaker of the House Mike Johnson announced, a month ago, that he was going to be releasing 40,000 hours of the January 6th footage. That still has not happened. It's been kind of trickling out here and there, but this massive release has not occurred up to this point. And the other thing that we never even had an opportunity to address this when it happened, but when Mike Johnson made that announcement that he was going to be releasing all this footage, he pointed out that they were going to blur out the faces of some people because he didn't want the Justice Department going after them. I find that pretty remarkable.
I mean, come on.
So we want to, there were some people who, from what I understand, were not involved in the violence. But let's not forget, there have been over 700 people convicted for the violence at the Capitol on January 6th, and they're not done yet. There's still some that they're looking for and trying to locate.
And I don't know if you know this, Speaker Johnson, but if they want to see it, they're going to see it.
The other concern I've seen is that there is some footage from the Capitol Police themselves. They use a series of tunnels underneath the Capitol that are not well known to the public.
I've been through those tunnels.
You have?
I've been on their subway system. It's pretty cool. But I'm not going to lie.
But there's some concern that allowing all of this footage out there is going to make things even less safe going forward.
Yeah.
Because not all of this should necessarily be public knowledge. All right. Stay close. When we return at Christmas Trees and your chance to live right next to Lambo, you're listening to As Goes Wisconsin. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I thrill with every word. Yes, I'm always sentimental round this time. Pardon me if a tear falls among my Christmas cheer. It's the memory of an old Christmas
The Shaw, WAUK. Robert.
Since
since the moment you were born, I've made 1,000 wishes. Wishes for your future, in a world that's changing fast. For all of the things you may one day do play and laugh. Do win and lose. Do learn from your mistakes. And challenge yourself to grow. Do not be afraid. Or make decisions based in fear. Do it all with confidence and with kindness and strength. Do call your mom and ask her for advice. And always do your best to remember that no matter what you do in this life,
thank you.
What matters to me is that you keep doing. I love you always, Mom. Inspire kids to do at 4-H.org.
You're tuned in to your home for the Wisconsin Badgers on 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR, locally grown radio.
Good morning. Welcome to As Goes Wisconsin. Thank you so very much for joining us. Jane Matinere in for Kristen Bry. Greg Bach is on the board. You can always join us at 844-967-2789-844-96-PARTY. Or if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter, you can leave comments there as well. Just a reminder, before you head out for the holidays, to download the Civic Media app and any podcasts that you like. If you like the As Goes Wisconsin podcast, you can download that before you hit the road or jump on a plane and take us with you wherever you go and wherever your holidays may be leading you. This is probably on somebody's Christmas list. You have an opportunity now to buy a house in Green Bay that essentially butts right up to the Packers stadium.
What?
Lambeau Field. A Green Bay
I've heard of it.
A Green Bay home with a view of Lambeau. Up for sale, 4 bedrooms, 2 bathrooms, 2,000 square foot home listed on Zillow for about, okay, it's $699. I don't know why they list them at six. It's $700,000.
Wait, say what are the stats again?
It's 4 bedrooms.
4 bedrooms.
2 bathrooms.
2 bathrooms.
2,000 square feet.
Okay.
Listed on Zillow for $699,000.
So none of the Packers live there. There's no gold bars in the building.
It does come with a pool.
Okay.
And a deck in the back.
Okay.
Which I think is would be very appealing for some. That seems pricey to me, though. For Green Bay.
Yeah, I'm sure because it's you're looking at Lambeau Field. Also, I mean, here's the thing is, we bought a house next to Lambeau Field. Give it one season.
You think that'll
live next to Lambeau Field? It's so loud.
But it's only loud for how many days?
I know, but still, I'm annoyed easily.
That would really irritate you?
I don't think I'd want. I think, here's the thing is, I would rather a diehard, true Green and gold fan live there and have the opportunity because I think they would truly enjoy it. I'm not the biggest football fan, so it would be a little bit lost upon me. Or maybe it would renew energy I used to have for football. Who knows? All I know is that the moment someone drove up on my lawn before asking my permission, I would lose my mind.
Yeah, probably not the best purchase for you then, Greg.
No.
Probably not a good idea. Moving on, if you're not going to buy the house at Lambeau for $700,000, and unfortunately, I have a feeling that some business is going to buy it.
Oh, that sucks.
You know?
Yeah.
So they can have Lambeau parties and turn it into a party house or something.
Airbnb it. They're going to Airbnb it.
Oh, I bet you're right.
Bet you they'll Airbnb it.
Yeah, I bet you're right.
And they'll make their money back in 2 seasons.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, without a doubt. Also, Christmas trees, still an issue. There are nearly 900 Christmas tree farms in Wisconsin. Over 700,000 Christmas trees are cut across Wisconsin every year. But there have been some questions now about what are we supposed to do with them if we have a real tree in the house after this whole city of Milwaukee kerfuffle with the Christmas trees.
It was definitely a kerfuffle.
I've always had a kerfuffle. The Wisconsin DNR says Christmas trees are defined as yard waste. State law prevents sending yard waste to solid waste disposal facilities. because when it goes into a landfill, essentially it breaks down and creates methane, which we don't want. So what should you do with your Christmas tree? If your municipality does pick up the trees, make sure you take off all the lights and all the decorations and any wires. And also with those Christmas tree lights, don't put them in the garbage or don't put them in the recycling. Never put your dead Christmas tree lights in recycling because they jam everything up. And unfortunately, they have to go in the garbage. But the DNR highly recommends you chip or compost your Christmas tree. Burning is not recommended when other options are available.
Or get a fake tree like I did and put it in your basement all year round.
You can do that. You can do that as well. Troy from Mount Horeb is on the line. Good morning, Troy. Thank you for joining Ask Us Wisconsin. What's up? Hi, Troy.
Hi. Hey, that picked the house across or right by Lambeau Field. Did they have pictures of that yet?
I am, let me take a
look.
If
it's on Zillow, then they got to have pictures.
Yeah, if it's up on Zillow, there will be pictures.
Okay, because they were building one right that was right up against the parking lot. I was wondering if that was the one.
It sure, from what I can see, Troy, it does look like it's, yeah, it's facing the front of Lambeau from as far as I can tell.
Right.
And with a strip of grass. Okay. But yes, it can be yours, Troy, for it can be yours for only $700,000.
That would be awesome.
Yeah, Troy.
Talk to your wife ever put a big red bow on it for you, and that'll
see the tickets. Think of the money we'd save on parking.
There you go.
Exactly. Thanks a lot, Troy. Have a very Merry Christmas.
You too. Merry Christmas to you both.
Take care.
Thank you.
And real quickly, PT is calling in from Portland. Good morning, PT. What's happening?
Heard about the house near Lambeau. Is it a modern home?
It's a two-story. Yeah, it looks pretty modern. It's not an old. It certainly doesn't look like it's from the 1940s. It looks like it's maybe a 70s or 80s.
Jane, I feel like you can get a cut on this real estate right now.
Right, I can help facilitate this deal for PT.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it's to me. I would that price. That's steep for that area. But a developer might buy it, tear it down, put another bar there, right?
Put another bar?
Yep.
Yep, I can see that happening. Again, I would just like to see it go to a family as opposed to some business that's just going to turn into a party house or something.
Yeah.
But what are you going to do? That's the fair market. Thank you for calling, PT. Thank you so much for listening in Portland. How did you find us?
Oh, I moved from Wisconsin to Portland. And I've always, listened to... Civic Radio. What was it called before? Devil's Advocate. Yeah. I've followed you guys for a long time, and I love the new app, too.
Oh, wonderful. Cool.
Thank you, PT.
Heading downtown now to get a haircut. I have your app on, and it has a little thing that says stop listening.
Don't press that button.
Why would you do that, PT?
I wouldn't do that.
Thank you, man.
Thank you so much, PT. Really appreciate you for listening, and keep Portland weird, right?
Heck yeah.
Keep Portland weird. All right, stay close. News is coming up next, followed by the wonderful Todd Alba program. Thank you so much for listening and calling and texting. Makes all the difference in the world. I hope you find some joy today, and you have the chance to share it. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Locally grown radio, WFHR programming, is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios. Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
Doorman, I need you to check the voicemail today. I'm completely swamped.
Sure thing. Doorman at your service.
Hey, my garage door won't open, or only one side opens. I can't get my car through that.
My garage door motor is running, but the door doesn't move.
Sir, your photo eye sensor is clouded over, or you may have a blocked track.
Thank you, doorman.
Your emergency manual release cord was disconnected.
Those kids!
Children are a delight. We've reconnected it. DoorWorks for the win!
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
CBS News Brief. The U.S. orchestrates a prisoner swap with Venezuela. CBS's Ed O'Keefe says it involves someone close to the country's president.
At least one Maduro ally being returned. Venezuela is handing over at least eight Americans,